97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning. We're back in there doing the hard work of a show host. The show prep never ends. And Ethan just had to open the door and scream for me, Mark, the show's starting.
And by show prep, do you mean eating pretzels out of Trisha's office?
No. I was in there preparing a segment for this hour on the Secretary of State and this battle over initiative petition reform that is going to work its way through the courts in Cole County today. So, no, that's exactly what I was working on. This, in fact, I just went to the printer to pick this up as I was running in here. You never run to a microphone. I made the mistake of doing that a few minutes ago. This is the Kansas City Star. You want to talk about bias in media? You want to talk about bias in media? Let me read you the headline from the Kansas City Star this morning on this issue. This is the headline in the Kansas City Star. Will Missouri voters be able to protect direct democracy? A judge to decide. We don't have direct democracy. We're a representative republic. That's what irritates me so much about this whole argument over Amendment 4. We can get into that again. I'm truly hopeful we have another chance to revise that at some point. But if this amendment passes, if they get this on the ballot, this is what the left does. If they get this through and enough numbskulls vote for it, this gets put in the Constitution. Guess what? You'll never be able to impact initiative petition again. And the left is the only side that uses it. So everything they do, you can assume, is coming from a position of something you disagree with. Something evil in many cases, if it's abortion and things like that. So I'm just telling you that citizen-driven initiative petitions are what the left uses in this state, which is why I was so in favor of Amendment 4 to begin with. And that's kind of what I was in there preparing to talk about a little later in this segment, probably at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into that a little more because Denny Hoskins, who we had on the show a little over a week ago, is fighting this. In fact, he appeared yesterday in a video, Kim, on the steps of the Capitol building with a baseball bat over his shoulder, saying he just hit another one out of the park because he got yet another victory in court where he's consistently being challenged by this Chuck Hatfield out of Cole County, one of the big liberal politicians, or I shouldn't say politicians, one of the big liberal lawyers in the state who's always down there filing lawsuits on behalf of the left and Democrats. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. So we will get to more on that here at the bottom of the hour. Lots of rain out there this morning. Be warned about that. Sue's going to have the latest on your traffic coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And it is, it's been a mess. And it's going to be a mess probably until the end of our show, at least this morning. I'll just warn you about that. So we'll get to that for you. We've also got Derek Morgan coming up. And next hour, we're going to talk to Norbert Hauser, and I'm sure you don't recognize that name, but he's a life coach, he's a health coach, he's an inventor, and he's talking about whether or not, and we've heard this debate over the years, Wi-Fi and cell phone signals quietly affect your health.
And something happened to, I guess, his grandson that made him start looking into this whole situation. He kind of did a deep dive on it. And I just talked about this for Kim on a Whim. There were already concerns with 4G. Now we have 5G. People were worried about the towers and the impact on health and that having a tie potentially to cancer rates. And then now you have 6G that's rolling out in 2030. And people are understandably a little bit worried about what that will mean for them.
Yeah, I get that. I've said this before, my first cell phone, you'll laugh at this, was a bag phone. The first cell phone I could ever afford to buy for myself came in a bag, and it had a full-size phone handle on it, and it's set in a cradle, basically, and it was probably 3 watts. I mean, this thing was powerful, and if the whatever that sent out didn't fry my brain back then. It even had an antenna you had to stick up when you were using it. But it worked. Mm-hmm. It was just very much more powerful than today's phones. And I'm thinking, well, if I survive that, what is the risk? So I'm anxious to talk to this guy just to hear what he has uncovered here. We'll get to him at about 8:20 this morning. So stay tuned for that. Right now, Ethan, let's hit some of those top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Wait a minute. That was my turn. Hang on just a minute here. I got you.
The petition would require ballot summaries to be clear and unbiased, preserve the citizen petition process, and make it harder for politicians to change or undo voter-approved measures.
Yep, that's part of the coverage of what Denny Hoskins has questioned, because it has so many different parts that he said it violates the single subject policy, and therefore it's unconstitutional. That is what a judge will decide in Cole County before the end of the week, probably.
This is a contrast election, a contrast between common sense, represented by a guy like Tom Barrett, and crazy. And that's what his opponent represents. Those policies are crazy. It'd be terrible for Michigan, terrible for America, and that's why we're very confident.
Yeah, that was Mike Johnson, as you can hear. He's one of the ones sort of leading the argument here against electing any more of these DSA candidates. And guess what? One had a shocking upset win in Florida, almost guaranteeing a one Republican seat down there as a result of it.
People say his ability to go viral is what is making him stand out as this candidate for the party, that they want someone that can sort of rise above the rest and, like, make noise.
Yeah, they need somebody who's going to make noise. The people that are getting elected yesterday are not the answer on John Ossoff. I can tell you that. He's the guy out of Georgia.
How is it possible, with living in the day and age of artificial intelligence and in information age, how is it possible that somebody can get 13 different medications that are as strong and powerful as the ones that we're talking about in this case?
Yeah, Sean Hannity with a good question last night on this Lindsey Clancy story that we've been covering. Kim, she's the mother accused of murdering her three children and apparently trying to take her own life while battling postpartum depression. That's the argument the defense is using here. It's raised a lot of eyebrows. And they asked Dr. Drew about this yesterday on Hannity's show. And his question was, they found out this woman's medication list. Many, many of the medicines she was on don't interact well with the others. His question was, in today's medical environment, with everything that's online and these health charts and everything, like if you're with BJC or, SSM or whatever it happens to be, your doctor can pull up your entire list of medicines and look at them.
That was the exact question I had asked when I initially talked about this, was how was that not known? Because, first of all, you're asked usually, what other medications are you taking? And I understand you can easily lie about that on some medical form. But don't you think that she would have wanted to list those because she'd want to make sure that they weren't having some weird reaction with any new medication she was prescribed?
Or did she doctor shop, or what was going on? I don't know. Here was the doctor's answer to Sean Hannity's question. Listen.
I get what you're saying, and I'm sympathetic to that point of view. But the reality is, it's difficult to get information from one treatment environment to another. Electronic medical records sometimes don't talk to each other. Physicians don't talk to the previous prescriber. The patient distorts or maybe lied about what she was taking. There's a lot of addictive medicines in there. Maybe there's a role of addiction in all this. And so it becomes chaotic and problematic when there is not a primary care person who watches the individual from top to bottom, and we have eviscerated primary care in this country.
I don't have a primary care physician. There is one person I went to try to set that up, but if I'm sick, because I'm not sick very often, I go to urgent care. It's just easier.
That's part of the problem, but it's also not the answer, because my mother will go to the same doctor she's been seeing for 5 or 6 years, and we'll go in and sit down in an appointment, and they will look at her and say, are you on any, what medications are you on? And every time my answer to them is, whatever you prescribed her. Mm-hmm. Look in your chart. Why are you asking me?
Yeah.
And I guess ultimately what they're asking is, has another doctor prescribed something we don't know about? That would be a better way of asking that question. That's not the way they ask it.
Well, they're probably not taking the time to look it up because they truly don't know. They ask the same questions over and over again. And again, I get you have to update information and things like that. But when I went, when my son had to get stitches the other day, I went to a Mercy Urgent Care. I said, hey, they said, oh, we can't help you. Go to this one. It was within the same network, Mercy. And I said, can you please call them first and make sure that they can handle this? And they said, we don't have their number. We have no way of talking to them. You're in the same network and you can't, there's no number. There's not a single person that you can get a hold of over there. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Derek Morgan because there. Remember all this argument over President Trump trying to block commercial driver's license? 21 states are suing him over. Can you imagine what color those states are on the electoral map? We're going to talk to Derek when we come back.
Saying it was an op. You know, it was kind of, they set it up to see if they could influence the vote. They never even polled anybody. But I think this is more what we're going to see in the age of AI, where it's quite plausible to put something forward that on the surface looks legitimate, everything from polling to deepfakes. And it's really incumbent on each of us to make sure that we're following, you know, reputable people that we trust regarding polling and AI and everything else in this environment.
Yeah. You know, I was driving down to Arkansas the other day, and I'm on the highway, and I'm guilty of this. I'm going to admit it. Every time I would pass a truck driver with an out-of-state plate, I wondered if where they got their commercial driver's license. Trump administration's tried to crack down on this, and they're being challenged by all the blue states, right?
They are. It's amazing. And this is something the DOT has had access to this database for a while, but they want to find unqualified truck drivers, including illegal immigrants. And they're saying, if you don't share this data with us for us to look into this, and we're going to withhold some funding. Now you have 21 Democrat-leaning states that are suing on it, and D.C. And that includes some in the middle of the country, certainly Michigan and Minnesota, Illinois, a lot of them, as you would expect, on the East and West Coast. But look, we can't have illegal immigrants driving across our nation's roadways, especially as we've seen so many horrific accidents.
Yeah, with thousands and thousands of pounds of metal that they're driving as well and killing people in some cases. Derek Morgan, thank you for your time as always. We'll talk next week.
Yep, sounds great.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Kwame Raoul, the Illinois Attorney General, is leading that fight to protect the information of CDL licensees. It's just amazing. We'll be back in just a minute.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Yeah, very little of that going on, for sure. Welcome back into the show. We appreciate that. Covering all of the primary stuff last night and everything that's happening around the country. And then we've got our own little show going on here in Missouri right now. Our own little crap show, you could call it. Words I can't complete that full word on the air. But I'm just saying, it's happening. It's playing out down in Cole County. Down in Jeff City, right? So that's where the lawsuit was filed by this Chuck Hatfield. He's got a long history of challenging and suing the state, mainly on behalf of Democrats. And I love the Kansas City Star will never let you down. I read their headline earlier. I want to read it again. Will Missouri voters be able to protect direct democracy? A judge will decide. A Missouri judge is poised to decide whether an effort to strengthen the state's most prominent form of direct democracy can reach the November ballot. The high-stakes decision comes after Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, a Republican, rejected the ballot measure earlier this month, declaring it unconstitutional. The campaign called Respect Mo Voters sued days later, calling the move illegal. And Judge Daniel Green in Cole County heard arguments Tuesday and did not immediately issue a ruling, said he would release his decision no later than today. So you're going to get a decision on this probably today, tomorrow at the latest. At the core of this case is the state's initiative petition process. Pay attention, all you know on four people out there. It's a century-old mechanism in which residents can collect signatures to put policy measures on the ballot. voters have used petitions to legalize abortion, marijuana, and other high-profile issues in recent years. Issues, I would point out, that the hard left wanted to do an end run around a supermajority Republican legislature. That's why the left uses it. It's why we needed restrictions on it. The fact that we don't have restrictions on it is a problem now. And I warned you about this when you were all fired up. And what are we ever going to do if we want to pass good conservative initiative petitions? And I pointed out correctly, and I'll point it out again, we don't. We don't. Most of the initiative petitions that have been on the ballot that would be considered conservative have been placed there by the legislature. There wasn't some grassroots effort on the part of Missouri conservatives to put this question to voters, because we live in a representative republic. We have overwhelmingly elected a supermajority of Republicans in Jeff City to govern the state. The only reason you'd need to go around that is if you had some hard left agenda you wanted implemented into the state constitution so that the legislature could not do anything about it. And then you get your way like a bunch of crybabies, right? And you can do it because it's a whole lot harder to convince people to be motivated to vote against something than to be motivated to vote for something. And here, this is the world we live in today. So here is what's going on in Jeff City today. And there's a young lady who reports down there. Her name is Hannah Falcon. I don't know if you know her or not, Kim. She looks somewhere north of 12 years old. I'm going to give her credit for being a little older than that. I'm sure she's graduated from a journalism school somewhere. She just sounds really young. So that's why. That's why I'm saying that. But the IP battle that's going on down there, she's a reporter who reports for a number of TV stations around Missouri, but she's based in Jefferson City. I first saw this report on Channel 4, and then I went to their website and couldn't find it. So I had to go to KFVS out of Cape to find her report on the IP battle currently going on down there. Listen.
The petition would require ballot summaries to be clear and unbiased, preserve the citizen petition process, and make it harder for politicians to change or undo voter-approved measures. Secretary of State Denny Hoskins claims the petition violates the Missouri Constitution's single-subject rule, but the campaign claims ballot summaries and legislative changes on ballot measures are the same topic.
The fact that Secretary Hoskins doesn't like it is no reason to deny the people a vote.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. So there's Chuck Hatfield again, the attorney, hired always by left-wing causes to push whatever they've got going on in Jeff City. So this is what they're mad about. What they're mad about is that when they passed the minimum wage increase via initiative petition a few years ago, because the minute people can vote themselves a raise, it's the end of the republic. I'm pretty sure it was Ben Franklin who said that. I'm paraphrasing him there. The minute people realize they can vote themselves a raise, it's all over with, which is what's happened here. They whipped up the left and they whipped up the labor unions and said, hey, let's go out and demand that we raise the minimum wage and then make it automatically go up every year until we kill every business in Missouri. That's the nonsense of the left. So they went out and they did that. But the legislature scaled that back once it got in to the Constitution. This initiative petition would prevent them from ever being able to do that. So then the left could cook up whatever cockamamie scheme they wanted, get it passed into the Constitution, and the legislature could never do anything about it. Period. End of discussion. It's over with. That's what they're trying to do. That's why initiative petition reform was so important with Amendment 4. It's why I kept saying, quit listening to the noise and listen to what I'm saying to you. Don't buy the lies that this was ever some going to hurt conservatives. It wasn't. If something's popular enough to go into the Constitution, it should be able to get 50% plus one vote in all 8 congressional districts. And if it's not, then it's not important enough to go in the Constitution. Do you realize that had we simply raised the threshold to 57%, so that's not quite a supermajority, but it's more than 50%, half the things that are legal now wouldn't be legal. Marijuana wouldn't be legal. None of that stuff would have passed. But it did, and we're stuck with it. And we could have fixed it, and people overwhelmingly misunderstood the problem, in my opinion, and voted no. So here we are. If Denny Hoskins loses in court today and they get this on the ballot and they pass it in November, we will never again be able to control what the left sticks into our Constitution. And again, it's George Soros and it's all these lefties, Planned Parenthood, everybody from out of the state of Missouri who will be celebrating come November, you know, toasting themselves with champagne or whatever it is they drink, or smoking dope at the same time. And they're going to be celebrating the fact that they duped the stupid people of Missouri again, yet again. And we can go do whatever we want in Missouri. They could. They will be able to do anything they want in the state of Missouri.
I wonder how many other states are like Missouri where it's a 50 plus one. Because, you know, you think about Florida, where it's, what, a 54, 55% vote from the public that you would need in order.
Yeah, we're one of the few. I think we're one of two states in the country, maybe.
That's
where you can come in and change.
That's a very low threshold.
It's incredible. It's, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous, and it's incredible. And here's how the mainstream media wants to play it. Voters need to be able to protect direct democracy. We're not a direct democracy. We're a representative republic. Mob doesn't rule in the United States of America. It's the reason we have the Electoral College that people like the governor of Kentucky want to get rid of. That's why, because we're not a direct democracy. We're a representative republic. Our founders explained that so well in the Federalist Papers and why they put in the form of government that they did. So it's not mob rule. That's what we've got in Missouri when it comes to changing the Constitution. Listen to Denny Hoskins yesterday when Hannah Falcon cornered him. This is weird. This is weird. Like, I've done so many interviews as a TV reporter. Sure you did, too. I look at the shot. Usually the camera's over the reporter's shoulder, one side or the other. You're holding the microphone out. In this case, he was 6 feet from her. She stood 6 feet away
well,
from
Fauci,
him.
She wanted to make sure she
interview.
Was adhering to Fauci's.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know if she was conscious of COVID or what.
Very worried
she didn't
about
have
it.
A mask on, but she stood 6 feet from Denny Hoskins when she did this interview. You can't see that on the radio, but I'm just telling you, listen.
Well, most certainly, if there's a court order, we will follow any court order that comes down. And I've always said that, hey, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can file a lawsuit, but I'm going to stand on principle. I'm going to stand on the Missouri Constitution. I'm going to stand on Missouri state law and protect Missourians from these out-of-state sugar daddies that are coming in here and think that they can buy the Constitution, they can buy state law.
Yeah, they can, Denny Hoskins, Secretary of State. They can right now. Until we make it harder to change the Constitution, these out-of-state sugar daddies can, with $1 billion, can come in and buy anything they want into your Missouri Constitution. And we were too dense to fix that a couple of weeks ago. And now it won't come up again. Even if we could ever have another run at it, it won't come up again until after the next legislative session. If they're even willing to readdress it, they may look at an 80-20 vote like that and say, that's a third rail. We're not touching it. Our politicians might not bring it up again.
What a great way to describe that. Out-of-state sugar daddies.
That's what he said.
That's what they are.
That's exactly what they are. All right. What's coming up in Kim on a Whim?
So I had someone who texted me yesterday because they were watching the Indiana Fever game, and they said, you will not believe one of the main sponsors of the WNBA. The irony of it will have you laughing. I'll get into it here on the other side of the break.
But they ran out of time at the meeting because they couldn't agree on where to go eat.
I saw that.
They never reached a conclusion.
It's the joke of the husband says, where do you want to eat? She says, oh, whatever, I don't care. And he's like, how about this? No. How about that?
But here, no. My wife's in denial about it. She did not get that joke. She didn't think that joke was funny at all.
It's pretty funny.
And I'm like, you're the pickiest eater I've ever met.
I'm not that picky, but there are certain things that just doesn't sound good. But you don't really know what you want until someone says it. You just know what you don't want. You don't know what you do want.
You know what you don't want.
Yeah, see, there's
a
difference.
That's it. Fortunately, at some point, most of our wives wanted us, but then, you know, maybe they've changed their mind over the years. I don't know. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about cell phone and Wi-Fi signals and whether or not they affect your health. And Martha McCallum, stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.